following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Jen Cease, and we'll be your host for the City Spotlight tonight. John Camp is alongside of me, so anything you hear that's probably beyond me talking is John doing all the magic in the background. We've got an hour to talk soccer, to talk city soccer, and we'll pretty much stick with city tonight throughout the evening. Every once in a while in the last segment or so of the show, or maybe in the front part, we'll talk about something else, maybe something local. But this here will stick pretty close to city. We'll talk a lot bit about, of course, you know, the elephant in the room, and that is City on a losing streak right now. They have not won. They're not scoring a lot of goals, although they did score recently. Not able to hold that lead, and talk about what that means on the season. We'll do that, of course, with Dale Schilly. He's our analyst on Y98 with Joey Zanaboni and myself for every game. We have pregame for you every game 30 minutes before, and Dale provides great analysis throughout. He's also the St. Louis City Academy director. Lots of years of experience. His insight and thoughts are always really welcome on this show. We'll also hear at the bottom of the hour from a really interesting player. Timo Baumgartel is someone who recently just got his start in the MLS this last game. His MLS debut was actually as a striker for a short period of time as City was trying to go for a win. I believe that was the SKC game that they did not able to win that away from home. He is a defender at heart, so he and I got a chance actually to catch up today. And we'll replay that conversation for you at about 8:30 or so. Those conversations are always also in pregame. So if you miss it here, you can catch it on the Y98 pregame as we feature a player every week. And we'll wrap up the hour talking about something else that made a Twitter and other feeds very busy. And that was a particular offside call. I believe it was a goal to tie the game. Joao Klaus was in position. All City players were in a position for a set piece, a corner kick. Went in the goal. It was called back by the assistant referee. I believe that he was onside. I personally believe that is, it was a really difficult call. It is very a hard call to make, but we'll talk to George Gansner about that. He's a former FIFA and MLS assistant referee. In fact, if I remember correctly, we can ask him about this at the toward the end of the hour, but that kind of call, whether you keep a goal or call a goal back, I believe his big break was against Alexi Lawless. He can tell us about that when he comes on and making that call and what the mechanics should look like, what he thinks the call should be, and of course, addressing Pro's official statement about that particular call. Of course, though, however, if you're Coach Olaf Melberg or you're any coach that talks to their team about having just one particular play make or break your game, that is not a place that you want to be, right? There are plenty of other chances City had to not only maintain the lead that they got, but bury that lead and keep a hold of that to keep that ball away from Columbus Crew doing what they like to do, and that was dial up the possession. They play a lot of pretty soccer, and they were able to do so and find ways in behind City's defense. So we'll wrap up the hour talking about that. But first, I'd like to lead off talking a little bit about an event I was at earlier today. I was at the MERS Goodwill with St. Louis City players as well as Carolyn Kendall, talking about their new partnership. St. Louis City SC is teaming up with MERS Goodwill to further nonprofits' mission of creating career opportunities for adults. So, more than a thrift store, when I think about MERS Goodwill, I've always thought of thrift store. I've been there myself. Friends have gone there, and we donate there as well. They serve over 10,000 people each year, not only through their thrift store, but through education and literacy programs. They do career counseling and skills training and more. And today at the event, they kind of made a show talked a little bit about what the partnership means, but also they had some graduating students of their program, and that was really nice to see. Recently posted some pictures of that on social media. You can catch that on my own account or KMOX's account. with that, and it really good to see the work that they do. Showing up at the event was not only St. Louis City's Carolyn Kendall, but players Josh Yarrow, along with Henry Kessler and Simon Betcher to do that, as well as they went around back and took some shots. A small goal, really, you want to talk about a mini pitch, a small asphalt pitch where some of the graduates of the program were able to take some shots on a non-keeper. So it's no surprise that perhaps the shots on goal did go in, because none of those guys are keepers, but that was a fun event to see. Talking about that event, was able to get a few thoughts from the people there. The first up I'd like to do is hear from Josh Yarrow. And Josh talked a little bit about why, if you have a city event and you have especially a community event in St. Louis, it is not unusual to find Josh Yarrow there. And he tells us a little bit why he's behind this kind of community involvement.
And for me, as players, this is the least we can do to say thank you to the community that's given so much to us. And so every chance I get, obviously, I try to do that. Because from the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate everything that this our fans and our community, you know, do for us. So it's always a way for me to say thank you for everything that they do for us.
He certainly does. Josh Yarrow has his own nonprofit where he helps schools build schools in Uganda, where his home country. It's very important to him. He was asked why in particular, though, even though he's involved in a lot of community activity, why in particular this partnership with MERS Goodwill and especially education means something to him?
Education is one of those that is really important, because once you have it, no one can take that away from you. My career as an athlete is going to come to an end someday. That's just the reality. But the knowledge I've had, education that I've gotten, my college degree, that's always going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And so once you give someone an education, you give them unlimited possibilities in life. And so seeing that these people are able to come here and have a place where they can get their education and further their life and their careers, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, not only that, Carolyn Kendall, CEO and of St. Louis City SC, was there to talk and kind of kick things off. And Carolyn talked a little bit more about why an effort like this, why partnering with nonprofits and doing other things in the community is so important to her and the club.
We've always said we're going to be more than just a soccer club. We want to be a good community partner as well. So being able to find, you know, these community partners that really fit into the mission of what St. Louis City SC is, it's a win for everybody, especially a win for us, but hopefully a win for the nonprofit partners as well, because we want to look for ways to elevate them. So whether it's city matches, city two matches, anything we can do to work together to better the community is exactly what the club set out to do.
Yeah, and it was a really great event. But of course, we couldn't let Carolyn get away without speaking a little bit on the season, of course, talking a little bit about where City is right now, what we're looking forward to, and the club's commitment to continued excellence, not only off the pitch, but on.
The team's playing really well together. I think Olaf is settling in great. We had a tough match against Columbus. We have another tough one coming up, but it's high energy. We're ready to continue to put the best product out there. And, you know, maybe we'll be like the Blues and have an incredible end of season run. But I think it's going to be exciting on Saturday, and the match is going forward, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and that match Saturday, of course, we had a Sunday match. We have a condensed week, so to speak, you know, with that match being on Sunday and the next one being on Saturday, which is our normal day, what we're really used to. Vancouver Whitecaps are coming into town, and man, they are on a tear. Brian White himself getting 4, I believe, of the 5 goals they had against Austin FC their last game. They are definitely clicking on all cylinders. Things are working out for them. So what a story that would be if City could stop them in their tracks. And what a nice gift it would be for Easter weekend that many are celebrating. But that game coming up at 7:30 on Saturday, we'll have pregame for you, as we always do, on our sister station Y98 with myself, Joey Zanaboni, and Dale Shilley. So that in mind, Dale Shilley, he's going to come up next, going to talk to him a little bit about where City goes from here. What do we do with 4 losses in a row, not really scoring a lot of goals, had a little bit of problems with defense last game, definitely haven't found City their identity in the attack. What does that mean going forward with the club? We'll talk to game analyst Dale Shilley next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city, our spirit.
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Jen C's back with you on the City Spotlight here on KMOX. Rolling into our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit with Dale Schilly, as we always do every show, as much as we possibly can. But before we do that, wanted just to share a little bit of audio. Was at practice today. Normally they're on Tuesdays, but I guess with the Sunday game, they push it to Wednesday. And my mic is falling over the place, so sorry for any noise in the background. There's a malfunction with my microphone stand. John, look at this. It's flipping all over the place. I'm going to hold it. And so on the field today, it was great weather and got a chance to get the interview with Timo Baumgartel, which you'll hear in the next segment, but also heard from Coach Olaf Melberg. And he talked a little bit. We asked him a couple of questions. One, of course, talking a little bit about the ongoing question. I don't know how many ways we can keep asking this poor guy this question, but asking about what the issue is with the attack. And it turns out he's got some thoughts.
Moments of brilliance like we had in the last game, you know, but need that more consistently. I think that reflects this season a little bit, and I think it reflects last season as well, even at the end of the season, you know, highs and lows, and some really good moments in games. The Galaxy is one, the last game, and we get this really great moves in the final third, and good final balls as well, balls in behind, some crosses. You know, to get more of those moments, we would like to see to be more consistent in our game.
So that was really poignant for him to say moments of brilliance. Definitely saw some of those. Some of them didn't come to fruition. One of them we're going to argue about when we talk about the offside call with George Gansner at 8:45. But consistency was the pattern. It turns out also that consistency might be the theme for defense as well.
Probably the most difficult moment in soccer is scoring goals. We didn't really make it that difficult for Columbus in the last game. Our defending was not good, especially for the goals, but on a few other occasions as well, where we too easily let them in behind us, switched off a little bit. So this is something we're looking at now, you know, our individual defending. Yeah, it's always a balance with everything. I wouldn't say we put the majority of the effort into defending in preseason. Tried hard to find our way attacking as well, and I can see that in the games that, again, we have those moments when we're really, really good. We just need to have more of them.
So that's Coach Olaf Melberg. And joining me now to talk about it, Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and Game Analyst on Y98 for all of our city games. Dale, it seems like, you know, mostly I think that up until the last game, defense has been fairly consistent. Coach Melberg wasn't particularly pleased with some of those spots in the last game. But, of course, on the attack, he really just speaks to, for the most part, consistency.
Well, you know, that's the risk. You know, in the second half of his comment there was talking about some individual defending moments. And that's the risk that you run when you try to push up higher and defend higher up the field. You're going to leave yourself open in the back. And, you know, so that happened a little bit. You know, I thought that in the front half of the field when we were pressing, I thought we were okay. There were some times we picked balls off. We created a couple of moments. Not just the ones at the end of the game where, you know, Betcher stole the ball on the restart and the goal kick restart. But in the first half, we cut a couple balls out when they were building out and made it difficult on them. But once they got their attack set up in the front half of the field, then there were some individual and small group defending issues there. But look, the way Columbus plays, and as good as they are in tight spaces, I think most teams are going to have issues defending against them in the back half of the field.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wonder, and I think I've asked you this before, talk with Coach Melberg, we focus a lot right on that back defense and the front attack. Of course, not meaning everybody defends, everybody attacks, but it makes me wonder then, is the key to finding consistency is to figure out then who really City is in the midfield?
I think that's a big part of it, but look, we're so banged up, you know, you'd like to be able to switch some guys around and have a look at different players and different combinations, and you know what you got, what you're missing in a Chris Durkin type. So I think in some ways it's just a matter of being patient for those guys to get back in, continue to refine how you look, how you're playing, what the rest of the group looks like, and then you can start to reinsert players when they get healthy.
Yeah, and going back to your three things, one of the favorite things that I like to do is it makes me wonder to the mental part. You called out three really important things, and one was body language. And I saw personally, I thought that was a bit better when calls didn't go their way. The mental aspect too, when you were talking about the mental part, are you talking about those final moments when, how many times I can remember as an attacker, you doing all the right things to get the ball where it needs to be and you whiff the shot or you pick off the ball and you have an open goal or you have, you know, poor Akil Watts sitting on the six, doesn't finish. Is that the kind of mental discipline you're referring to?
Well, I think it's more about the reaction to those moments.
Oh.
It's not that moment. It's the reaction to it. So how do we react in those moments? And I thought from a body language perspective, I thought we were pretty good. I thought the guys held on. They did a good job through the whole game. I thought they pulled for each other in a good way. So I thought that was good. You know, the other part that we talked about from a mental perspective was being able to build on more than just 20 minutes of a game. Sporting Kansas City, we had a good 20 minutes, and then we didn't respond to adversity, and the adversity there was not scoring on one of the chances we had in the first part of the game. So then we found ourselves, you know, playing on our heels rather than playing on the front foot like we did in the beginning of the game. I thought this game, I thought the guys held in there pretty well. I thought we had, you know, a significant amount of minutes that we put together that were positive as compared to where we were over the last handful of games. So, you know, I thought that Coach Melberg could take some of this game and build on it and know that he had more than 15, 20 minutes of a good performance. He had a good piece of a good chunk of the first half and a good chunk later in the game where the team, you know, were dominant and creating opportunities and good on the defending side and the attacking side.
Well, listening to him talk, got a couple of nice updates from him today, and that was him talking a little bit about the fact that Thomas Totlin and Giannis Horn were in training today, and he confirmed their options for the next game. Don't want anybody to get too excited, but Roman Berkey had gloves on. Relax, everybody relax. I think we've got a little time for that. But he wasn't just kicking the ball. He had some gloves on. But it seems like maybe the light right now, Durkin not so much. Nilsson was not in training today, but he's not, quote, ruling him out for the weekend. So Totlin, Horn, Nilsson could change some stuff for City if they're able to be here for Vancouver.
Yeah, I would say the big one for me there is Totlin. Just as good as he was in the attacking side for us and in transition, which is something you've been referring to over the few weeks about just being able to transition out of moments where we win the ball to get forward, and he's so good at that part of the game. He gives us some flexibility and some opportunity to move some players around, and he's an important one. You know, I want to talk real quick about Timo Baumgartel.
Yeah.
I mean, glad to hear you're going to hear from him this after, or, you know, after the, what is it, the next hour. But I thought it was a really good performance. I thought he was influential in the game and the way that he played. And I thought that his positive contributions from a support perspective, I thought was really good, really helpful for the guys.
Yeah, you know, and just remembering back to my January, I kind of wish I could take my January conversation with him when I was getting to know him and this conversation with him where I needed to talk about now and smash them together. I tried a little bit, but one of the things I remember him telling me about, I asked him to tell me, because I hadn't seen him play, what kind of defender he is. And he said, you know, if I'm paraphrasing him correctly, I'm not the kind of, you know, smash him up kind of defender to bust up plays, but I do like the ball at my feet and I do like to distribute. I like to find places to attack. I like to break lines. And man, does that seem like something that would benefit City right now if we can get some more of him doing that.
Well, I would say that, you know, if people were to rewatch the game, if they looked at his passes, the two things that stood out to me was, one, we identified right out of the gate was his forward defending. He was looking to figure out when balls were getting played into people's feet, how he could step in front of them and start a counterattack. Something that we need that to kind of ignite that transition moment. His passes out of the back were on the money. And what I mean is that when he was playing balls wide and breaking a line or playing it inside and breaking a line, he was playing it to the proper foot with the proper pace. He was playing it in a way that the guy that's receiving it wants to receive it. He's not playing a ball to a guy just to get it to him, just to pass it at him. He's passing to a specific body part so that the player can turn forward and start to go. I thought he was helpful in little ways, not in big ways. some concern about the way he runs around out of the back sometimes. Maybe, you know, Kessler was wondering where his left center back was a couple of times, but you know, I thought he was a good contributor to the game.
Meaning, Dale, you think he was getting forward too quickly in some instances?
Okay. Like sometimes you'd see him inside. You know, I don't quite know what the scheme is for the three center backs. If they want to follow guys in the midfield, if they cross over sort of that line in front of a center back, do you want Kessler to step up against that guy and Baumgartel to drop off, so more of a zonal shape? Or is Baumgartel supposed to run with his mark while Kessler tries to figure out how to cover in behind him? I don't know what their scheme is, but it looked a little bit different with Baumgartel in there chasing guys around than what we've seen with, let's say, Nilsson or Horn, Kessler and Yarrow or whoever was on the right side. So, yeah, it's just something that the guys have to figure out in the back, that's all.
And last but not least, City's schedule gets no easier. Vancouver right now on a tear, tearing it up. Brian White alone tearing it up. What does it take for City, scoring goals, I get it, but for City to be successful against a team right now that is truly in form, top of the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, 17 goals for Vancouver in 8 games, 7 goals for Brian White. I'm sorry, 6 goals for Brian White in those games. I mean, that's incredible. But really, St. Louis's, you know, own worst enemy is themselves right now. And it's not their worst enemy, but it's our challenge. Right now, it's about playing with confidence. It's about sustaining ourselves. It's about becoming a unit and fighting together as a group for a common cause. It's not the opponent right now. If we can put together a performance and we can start to see how we are in a good 90-minute match where we've got it all clicking, then we'll see where we're truly at. I see us starting to turn the corner, but it's not really – this weekend's not really against Vancouver. Vancouver's a really good team. They're going to be difficult for sure, but it's really about us building on what we had last week against Columbus.
All right, thanks, Dale. I'll see you on Saturday.
All right, thank you.
That was Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and our analyst on Y98 for every game. City's next game home, of course, at Energizer Park against the Vancouver Whitecaps. More to come. Hear a preview of this game's player profile with City center back Timo Baumgartel. He's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Back on the City Spotlight, where we do, at this time, every City Spotlight, we preview the player profile. You can hear this player profile on Y98's pregame, but if you're listening to the City Spotlight, you get a preview of that. And today I caught up with City center back Timo Baumgartel, super interesting guy. We have an interview from him back in January. You can find that also on the City Spotlight. I highly recommend listening to that. It was fun to get to know him, kind of get to know where he came from before we got to see him play. And today we talked a little bit more about those things, about how he's doing in the MLS so far. And I started off by asking him if he knew about St. Louis's own St. Louis Stuttgart sisters cities, that there is an organization here, being from Böblingen, out of Stuttgart, that he might be interested in something like that. And it turns out he didn't know much about it, but he'd like to.
Not at all. I'm waiting for...
They have a fun party sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to invite. I'm going to invite. If there's a possibility, I'm in. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Stuttgart Sister Cities, Timo would like to be contacted. Get in touch with him, right? Who doesn't want to have a little linkage to home, right?
I'm missing my home a little bit, my friends, but still I'm happy here. It's a nice city. So Sister City, it's a good fit, I think.
And I'm thinking back to when we talked, it was January, trying to imagine what a whirlwind that had to be for you moving to, one, the United States. And then you guys were in the midst of preseason. Are you a little bit more settled now?
Yeah, we found a house, actually. We're still waiting for furniture. They now in Miami. I don't know why they go to Miami, but still we're waiting for a truck there. I think they enjoy the sun there. I don't know. We're waiting now like 3 months for them, so we're basically living on a mattress on the carpet. But it feels like 18 again when we first moved out of the house of my parents. But yeah, it's nice. It's a different world. It's all things are different. I had to make a new driving license. I don't know why. Driving exam, that was 10 years ago, my last one. So yeah, a lot of different things I have to do, but I'm open-minded. And know, I love new cultures, I love new countries. So for me, it's a nice experience.
There was also a time where I'm sure you had to do different things in your younger days, the U21 German national team with some of the guys here on the team. I remember from our January conversation, you talked about how fun that was. A little bit of a younger man traveling around and having experiences. Does something stick out to you from those times? Maybe not sleeping on a mattress on the floor?
No, it was fun times. Whenever we were together, like 10 days in total, we had a lot of fun. We were on one room, like everyone, like 10 players playing, laughing, playing PlayStation, talking stupid things. That's the fun part. We also traveled a lot. It was nice to see different countries, different cultures, as I mentioned. These days, yeah, you remember them with a sad eye that we're now older. But yeah, I'm back with these guys. So we have these away trips. We're traveling to different cities and we have still like fun together sitting on the same room. It's basically the same, only 10 years later.
You had another sport that you potentially could have gotten into, and it's your mom's sport, right?
My mom was a national player in handball, but
awesome.
Yeah, they said always I have talent, but I was always playing soccer. That's why I think I took the right path.
She's better with the hands, you're better with the feet. Could she have been a goalkeeper?
No, she's too small.
Oh. Sorry, Mom. What stuck out to you about soccer that didn't maybe ring for you true in the handball game?
Yeah, in fact, all of my friends playing soccer in school, we play soccer in the break, so there was no like handball guys running around. We all play soccer together. So I think in Germany, especially, is a country of soccer. It's like a religion for them. So every young kid playing soccer. In the beginning, I was a striker, didn't score that much. So they took me back to a defender, and now I'm a defender. I don't know why.
So when you think about your soccer experience, you played for Schalke, and there was a time that you faced up against our Roman Berkey, yeah?
Not at Schalke, but it was in Berlin, and I was, I think, in Stuttgart when he was in Dortmund. I played against him.
And
I remember.
Who won again? Who you told me?
I won the home game. I told him directly. We won 2-1. I know that it was a Friday evening game. We won against him. He was angry afterwards, but I think he won most of the games.
Well, I didn't know when we first talked that you are a cancer survivor. You know, there's a lot of people who talk about having setbacks and challenges in their careers, but cancer is a big one. So Timo, I think it was 2022 that you found out you were battling testicular cancer. As an athlete in a prime age, in a prime time of your life, that had to be a big blow.
Yeah, we always do this checkup, I did it in the Netherlands, and I was like a routine checkup. So I went there in May before the break, and I said like it's 10 minutes and I'm gonna enjoy my holidays. But this time they found something and they said, yeah, we need to look what it is. And then you go in this survival mode, and then they found out I have a testicle cancer, do 3 rounds of chemotherapy. I was in total 62 days in hospital with a break between, lost my hairs, but it made me mental stronger, because you see a lot of guys, you the first time in your life you have a confrontation with a death. I was in a center, you go through a hall and there are like different rooms, and all of these guys, I think 70% are now dead, which I met there. So that's different perspective now in my life, but at the end I get a beard out of it, so it's nice.
Chemotherapy itself is a tough treatment.
Yeah, it's basically poison running in your body, but I took it as a rehabilitation of a normal injury, because I wanted to go back. I wanted to show the world that after this diagnosis you can come back, you can get your old life back. That was the thing, because I knew I'm a professional player, I'm in the public, so I can be a role model. That's what I wanted to do, and I showed. And I also made pictures of the process to give other people's like hope. And whenever guys are asking about it, it's no problem for me to speak about it, give young men's the vision or the thought about going to a checkup. It saved my life, actually. So it's 10 minutes of your life, but it can save your life. So that's my message to everyone.
Probably also proving to yourself that you can come back, which you certainly have. So talk about your time here at City. I remember you coming into your first MLS game, but it wasn't as a center back. Remember that game?
Yeah, it was a striker. I can finish, but it's a total different in a game. I try to help the team whenever they need me, wherever they need me. I'm a team player, so if the coach need to put me as a striker, I'm doing that. I'm trying to do my best. So it was fun. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but for me, it was a fun game.
Yeah, for sure. And I would imagine as a center back trained, and you had done some striker before, you probably know what center backs don't like.
Yeah,
and you could probably use that.
Yeah, I thought so. But in fact, it's more difficult than I expected.
Congratulations on your MLS start. It was fun to see you in the lineup. How did you prepare for getting that start? What did it feel like? And was it fun also, of course, at Energizer Park in front of the fans?
It was really fun in front of the fans. It's really a good atmosphere here. Like, we in Europe have like the thoughts there's no really atmosphere in the stadiums, but these guys making a good atmosphere out of it. It was fun. It was hot. For me, it was hot, but they told me like it's getting hotter every day. So,
Timo,
yeah,
August.
Yeah, that's what they said to me.
Oh, goodness.
But it was fun. It's a different league. It's a different mentality, but I think Columbus is a really good team. And I think we were equal. We deserved at least a point, but in the end, bad luck. We didn't score our goals. We conceded two. So for me, it was nice to play after a long time playing 90 minutes. I played there with the second team to get rhythm. So now I get the experience of Energizer Park, how it really is. So I'm looking forward to the next game because I want to feel that feeling again.
This might be a good one for you because I think of right now kids who are in high school that are of a certain age or getting ready to be recruited by colleges. They're kids that maybe at the end of the season are going to go try out for another select team. And you sometimes find, I did when I made it to college, I wasn't the only person in my position. There were three or four other players ahead of me that were either older than me, had been there. What's that like? What kind of resilience do you need to have? Or what kind of thinking do you have to have when you come into a team where, let's be honest, City has plenty of center backs and you're looking to get that time as a start or at least a lot of minutes?
You know, I'm professional now for 12 years, so there are always decisions you have to accept. I always accept the decision of a coach. If you agree or not, that's not your part of the job. He needs to decide who's playing. So whenever he takes a decision against you, you go for the next week trying to train as hard as possible. Do the things you can do, and the rest you have no influence on it. So stick to yourself. Think about the positive things in life, on the field. Enjoy it. And at the end, hard work always pays off. That's what I learned always in the professional soccer. And sometimes you need setbacks to go two steps ahead.
That's Timo Baumgartel. If there is a definition of grit and resilience, I think it might be him. City center back who has, you know, moved to another country. He's faced cancer. He's faced not starting, not having a lot of time yet he continues to persist. More to come. One segment to go, and I think everybody's going to hang around for it. It's laws of the game. We've got an offside call to talk about with George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee. He's up next on KMOX.
Right foot, corner, outswinger, spot, hitter, and it's set on home!
Offside.
Show out Klaus, though, is offside. Baumgartel handed it to Klaus right in front of the goal line. Klaus smacked it in.
Well, this is a call. It would have been the goal that evened up the game with the Columbus Crew. Later in the game, Joao Klaus was called offside, put it in the back of the net. This is a problem to me, so I'm calling him some special help. It's that time.
Now, laws of the game.
Joining me now, George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee, who's actually out on some referee duty, stepped out of his meetings to talk specifically about this call. George, thanks for making time.
Yeah, happy to do it. The sun here in Dallas for Dallas Cup has been pretty strong.
Yeah, so you're going to come back with more than a suntan is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Well, besides your face probably being really red, a lot of City fans were seeing red and not City red for the offside call or the one that I don't really think it should have been offside, but you're the professional. You had a chance to look at it. Offside or no offside?
Yeah, so let's talk through it first, right? So we have a corner kick. We just listened to the audio. Ball gets played out to the top of the penalty area, somewhere right around the penalty arc, if I remember properly. St. Louis player goes up and heads the ball in to a Klaus who may or may not be in an offside position at the time.
Not.
And deflects the ball into the goal, right? So from an assistant referee's perspective, you have a couple things going on. So first of all, your positioning to start from that play is behind the kicker. And then as the ball's played, you're moving to find the second to last defender. Okay. So that's your job, is to get to that second to last defender, and have that visual in play, right? And every single contact, every single movement is a new snapshot of what happens. So, the ball goes in the header, the ball gets played to Klaus deflects, flag goes up. Okay, as the ball goes into the goal.
Yeah, so, it was about the 67th minute, by the way. So, no, I mean, there was still some time in the game, but 67.
Yeah, so they will always review the goal, always, no matter what. Every goal gets reviewed back to the change of play. In this case, it's a corner kick, so it's pretty simple. In this case, the angle of the camera is inconclusive to be able to change the call from an offside decision that was made on the field to a goal. Okay, so I'm here in Dallas, just to give some validity to this. I'm here in Dallas with current and former MLS and FIFA referees. We've all looked at this. Everyone is in agreement that it's inconclusive. You just cannot change it because you don't have the proper angle.
Here's okay? What's interesting. I got to tell you this real quick, because I ran into, at the City MERS Goodwill thing, I ran into a gentleman by the name of Wade Smith who said it was okay if I talked about this. He was on, working the camera on the 18-yard line right there. So he was there at 18. He even said there were extra cameras that day because Apple had extra cameras. It was the last game of the weekend, and it just, you know, befuddles me that with all those cameras and somebody right there, you know, and he's like, listen, I'm no soccer professional, but it was certainly one that was a head scratcher for me, him being really close to the play, almost having the AR's angle.
Yeah, so what can fix this is the a camera that kind of slides through the 18, right? Mm-hmm. Through the penalty area. But that's not what we have, and I don't know where those camera positions are or were that day. But at the end of the day, we see on Apple TV the exact same things that they see in the VAR room, which actually happens to be here in Dallas. They don't have a different angle to show on that one. Now, the preference that we would have as referees, and I was in this position quite often, like to think that I got it all right most of the time, but is to keep the flag down. And at the time when I was on the field, we didn't have VAR. So keep the flag down, give the goal. You're erring on the side of the attacker. This is a case where had the assistant referee, who, by the way, is one of the most experienced assistant referees in the country, if he had kept his flag down, it's going to be a goal for exactly the same reason. It's not a goal because he put the flag up, because there wouldn't be any conclusive evidence from the video to be able to change it. So, absolutely, we'd prefer for the flag to be kept down. In this case, it's unfortunate he raised the flag. I look at this and say, hey, the first time I looked at it, it was clear for me that he's not offside. But again, when you look at the video, maybe my heart, because I'm supporting City also too, is that it's a little bit on the side of he's very close, very, very close. And one of the referees here who does work in the league actually said, you know, what we can't see is whether or not his torso is offside, right? It looks like his legs might be, because of his angle, his legs might be okay, but maybe his torso is ahead of the defender's back foot.
Ugh. This needs to go back to, we need more of the body offside for it to really be offside, not like a foot, right? Like, I would really like to go back to the spirit of the law versus the letter of a toenail offside. That's just me.
Yeah. And the offside line in this case is the defender's back foot. Okay. So there is a player between the assistant referee, a St. Louis player, I think, between the assistant referee and that back foot. So it's very difficult to see that. And he's moving out to get into position from the corner kick to stay with the second to last defender. So there are a lot of things going against the ability to make this right on the field, which is why we want the flag down. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
All right. Thanks, George. We'll look for you on the next, controversial call.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There's George Gansner, former FIFA and MLS referee, joining us for Laws of the Game. If you missed any part of the City Spotlight, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast sections with all kinds of previous content. Don't miss the City's next game. It'll be on our sister station, Y98, starting at 7 p.m. for pregame. Kickoff is at 7:30 as St. Louis take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. Thanks so much to all of our guests tonight, as well as John Camp running everything in the studio for me. I'm Jen Cease, and you've been listening to the City Spotlight on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.